Hallelujah. Well, I wish we could just keep enjoying the word. Amen. By praying it, amen, corporately, amen, chewing on it, amen, eating it, drinking it, amen, singing it. But we still have one more lesson. We're still in school this morning as learners, the school of Christ, the school of living Christ. Amen. This is the best school, right? Yeah. Amen. Well, we've had a marvelous, wonderful, enjoyable weekend. So far, we've had three messages. The general subject, I know some of you may be here for the first time. The general subject has been praying the Word of God. Amen. How do you feel about this subject? Amen. You know, maybe you had the reaction on Friday night, oh, I know this already. Isn't this is too basic. I'm already experienced. I know how to do this. You know, for those of us who have been here, we can testify meeting by meeting, our concepts have been blown. Amen. Right? All of our old habits, all of our old practices must go. Amen. We need a new view and a new attitude concerning the Word of God. Amen. When we come to the Word, we come to a living person. Amen. God is the Word. The Spirit is the Word. Amen. The words are spirit and life. Amen. The Word is not just for reading. It's not just for studying. The Word is for all prayer. Amen. The Word is for musing. Amen. It's for meditating. Amen. And we'll see this morning, the Word is for singing. Amen. You know, in message one, we saw that we're not just here this weekend just to introduce a new practice. Amen. We're not here for just our practices or even for our meetings. We're here for the building up of the body of Christ. Amen. And even this proper praying of the Word will bring in a model, a corporate model of the God-man living, amen, which will issue in a new revival, amen, to bring the Lord back. Amen. We're not here just to be revived so we can be excited, so we could fill this meeting hall. All those things would be wonderful. We're here to consummate the age, amen, right? To bring in the kingdom, to prepare the bride, and to hasten our Lord's return. Amen. And this comes from the building up of the body of Christ. Amen. So what is the way? Well, the way we're talking about this week is praying the Word of God. Amen. And we saw that the Word of God is the best way. When we pray read, He infuses Himself into us. Amen. And in the morning meeting yesterday, we focused on this matter of praying the Word in a personal way. Not in the way of just in the meetings, but we have to first have this in our daily living. Amen. In a way of eating on a regular basis. Amen. You know, our brother had a very vivid picture I'll never forget. We don't want to eat like snakes. Yeah. Right? A snake just swallows its food whole and does no chewing. It's very mysterious how the digestion even happens. We want to take the way of the ruminants, amen, right? We want to chew on the Word, amen, just like the cows with the complex stomachs, chewing the cud, masticating on the Word throughout the day, right? This is how we can live Christ in our personal life. It's by having this kind of living. And actually, you know, the Word, we saw that prayer reading is very romantic, right? The Word is the Lord's love letter to us. And we'll come back to the subject of romantic, okay? And then last night we saw that not only is our prayer reading for our personal life, but prayer reading is for our corporate life. Actually, eating the Word is for the body. Brothers and sisters, I need you to eat the Word for me. And I need to eat the Word for you. And when we come together, we need to corporately eat the Word. And so the outline last night had a long list of helpful fellowship. We need to learn to cooperate with one another. Amen. It's a skill, right? But the point I think we all enjoyed from last night was we need to be liberated. Amen. Brothers and sisters, how much we need to be liberated from our old habits. Amen. So that the Spirit can flow. Where the Spirit is, there is freedom. Amen. this morning, I want to be liberated from my habits. Amen. That the Spirit could flow here among us. Amen. You know, concerning prayer reading, I have to share this testimony I had as a young person, okay? So I grew up in a pretty large church with a lot of young people, similar to, you know, Beltsville or Dunloring. And there was a brother who was serving with us. And we could say he was a product of the 60s. And in many ways, he was a little bit of a liberated brother, a refreshing, liberated brother. And I think he probably got tired of our prayer reading that, like Aaron mentioned, just following a form, imitating our parents in an empty way, just with our mouth, barely even with our mind, right, just repeating. And so he said, okay, we're going to try a new form of prayer reading, okay? This is called Hong Kong prayer reading. And don't be offended if you're from Hong Kong. I think it was named that way because some saints in Hong Kong did it, okay? So, but what we did was, you know, let's say there was 10 to 15 young people, okay? So we're going to go around, and each one of you, we're going to take one verse, and each person just takes one word, okay? Not even a phrase, just one word. And when you get to that word, you have to milk, you have to squeeze all the life and all the juice out of that one word. And there's no amening, okay? So instead of amening, whatever that person released, everybody else would just copy that person. You know, amen is just to agree. So why can't, instead of just saying, I agree, we can just repeat, okay? And the imitation was like this. If this brother was quiet and a little bit flat, then we all had to be quiet and flat. If this sister was living and released, then we would all be living and released. You know, there's something about having the saints directly reflect you that really shows you how much you need to be released in your spirit. Okay, so we would go around word by word. And I mean all, every word. Okay, so if your word was the, you had to enjoy the. Lord, the. Thank you, Lord, for the. Praise the Lord for the. You know, last night, actually, in our corporate prayer reading, there was a sister who released and three times, right? Based on Colossians 3:16, I think. It was so living. And. Anyway, so, you know, we were, as young people, we thought this was a little bit weird. But over time, we got into it. And we became so living and so released that we were interfering with the prophesying meeting of the church. You know, like sometimes you can hear the young people here singing downstairs. Well, if they were all prayer reading in this way, we'd be very distracted. So eventually, this is what happened. And so I tell you this story to illustrate a couple of things. One is, I never forgot. From that day, I don't know if I've ever gone back. We only did that one or two times. But that left a deep impression on me that all Scripture is God's breath. It's God-breathed. There's not a word in the Bible that we cannot turn into the breath of God when we strike it with our spirit. Okay, and this, I also tell the story to illustrate that we really need to be delivered from all of our forms. Amen. Who says we have to sing all four verses in a song one time through? Who says we can't pray read a verse, one word at a time? We need to be liberated, brothers and sisters, Amen. From all of our habits. Amen. Our burden is not a practice or a form. Amen. Our burden is to be saturated with the Word of God. Amen. By any means. Amen. How is the Spirit leading you? Follow the Spirit. Okay, so let's look at the title of lesson four. Okay, and so this is our burden. Being saturated with the Word of God by singing and psalming the Word in order to live Christ. For the body of... Amen. Okay, so the burden is here. Being saturated with the Word in order to live Christ for the body. Okay? So this whole weekend, we've been focused on, up to this point, praying the Word of God. And so this morning, we're going to I don't want to say take a turn because we're still going in the direction.
Amen.
Maybe we'll do that. Maybe I'll say this morning, we're going to take it up a notch.
Amen.
How about that? I don't know. Maybe that's not appropriate either. But we're going to dial it up just a little bit this morning and focus on singing and psalming the word.
Amen.
Now, as our brother shared yesterday morning, this message may not have ever been spoken before. I know I've never, I mean, I haven't spoken that many messages and for sure have not spoken a message on this. And I've never heard a message on singing and psalming the word. You know, there are messages on singing, on how we can exercise and be released in our singing. I think the college training every year has a message on that. But singing and psalming the word. Okay, and so in a way, brothers and sisters, this is we're embarking on uncharted territory.
Amen.
Right? This is virgin land. This is a new world, a new world we're embarking on.
Amen.
And I know many of you, like our brother Jack, probably have a lot more experience of this than I do, and maybe Paul. But Paul and I are here this morning. We're like Joshua and Caleb. You know,
Amen.
We've just spent not even 40 days. I don't know how much time we had to prepare. Maybe about 2 weeks, a week and a half. We spent a little bit of time spying out this land.
Amen.
We have not, by any means, possessed it or done anything on it or done any building on it. But we've spied it out just a little bit.
Amen.
And so we're here this morning to give you the good report.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, before us is a land flowing with milk and honey.
Amen.
As far as the eye can see.
Amen.
Brothers, the grapes are as big as your head.
Amen.
The pomegranates are so juicy.
Amen.
Let's rise up and possess it.
Amen.
Let's take it.
Amen.
The giants are nothing.
Amen.
This land belongs to us.
Amen.
It's our all-inclusive, unsearchably rich, unlimited Christ.
Amen.
But so far, there's no tracks, right? We need to, well, there's a little bit of tracks, okay? That's where we got the outline. So there are some tracks. These outlines are based on our brother's ministry, even from the 80s. Okay, so there's some tracks. And you know what? This ministry is based on the word itself.
Amen.
So we did some prayer reading this morning, right? These are the two, I'd say, foundational verses for our message this morning.
Amen.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly.
Amen.
In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. How? In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and psalming with your hearts. Is it to God or in the Lord? I always get those two mixed up. To God, right? So, you know, Colossians 3:16, we all know this verse, mainly because of a song that's written to it, a tune that's applied to that verse. I've always applied Colossians 3:16 to memorizing. You know, young people, college students, you need to memorize the word. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom. You need to memorize the word. And this morning I realized this verse doesn't talk about memorizing. It doesn't talk about reading. It talks about singing.
Amen.
It talks about speaking the songs, speaking the word, and singing the word to one another. So we really need a change in our concept. The word of Christ dwells in us richly, in our spirit, by our singing the word.
Amen.
Okay, so let's go to the outline. Roman numeral 1. The way to live Christ is to plug yourself into the word.
All the day long, if you remain in this plugging, you live Christ.
Amen. Okay, so we talked a lot, or not a lot, but we talked a little bit yesterday about this, right? Everybody has one. They need to be plugged in. There's one that's plugged in right now. You know, I was very slow to adopt this technology. And when I got one, the one I got wasn't very good. And the battery would not last very long. And so I became very paranoid about keeping this thing charged. So I had a charger at home, and then I got a charger for my car, and then I got a charger for work, and I recently got a portable charger that can charge a phone up to 5.5 times It's a portable battery because my phone had a very weak battery. So I was paranoid about always being charged. And even now I have a better phone, I'm still paranoid. And sometimes I look at my wife and I say, how can you let your phone go down to 17%? I don't understand. I get nervous when it gets to 80%. So every place in my life, there's a way to keep my phone charged. Saints, we need this attitude. How about if we were paranoid about keeping our spirit charged? We need a way to charge it at home, a way to charge it at work, a way to charge it in the car, a way to charge it when there's no electricity, no power source around us. You need to keep a spare battery, right? This is like my spare battery. I just keep it around so I can be charged. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we need this attitude. Amen. We need this desperation. Amen. We need a new spirit. Amen. Concerning our spirit. Amen. That we would always be plugged in. Amen. Okay, so some practical experience. You know, another verse we love, always rejoice, unceasingly pray. Amen. I've always said, we need to unceasingly pray. That means we always need to call on the name of the Lord. This is true. We need much more calling on the name of the Lord. Amen. But why limit ourselves to just calling? Yeah. Can we not take a bite, a small portion of a word of the word that we enjoyed, and spend the day calling on the Lord and chewing on that portion? Yeah. Is that not unceasing praying? You know, one verse I really enjoyed in my preparation because it came in such a wonderful bite size was Philippians 1:21a. For to me to live is Christ. We all know this verse already. So throughout the day, not only can we call on the Lord, we can pray this verse. Amen. To me to live is Christ. Amen. And you know what? You can write a short tune. Even the least musical among us, and I'm not very musical, even I wrote a little tune. And I didn't worry about the words because I had all the words I needed. For to me, to live is Christ. For to me, to live is Christ. Okay, I'm not going to teach this song. It's not ready. I'm just demonstrating, okay? Maybe if you come to my home meeting, we'll refine it together, okay? Don't worry about the words. I'm not talking this morning about writing songs, okay? Some of you have that gift. I don't believe I have that gift, but you know what? I've also never tried. I've never explored this territory of Christ, even of my being, of singing the word. You know, there's something special about singing. And I don't know if I have the utterance, but singing is like you take a marvelous dish, but you make it even better. Maybe with like a special sauce or some special seasoning or a side dish, or you pair it with the perfect wine. I don't know. I'm very crude in my food taste, but maybe somebody can articulate. There's something about singing. The proper singing, brothers and sisters, is not something separate from prayer. Amen. Our proper singing is a continuation, even an issue of our prayer. And our psalming, we'll see, Paul will get into it, is just our musing of the word, but with some kind of tune. Amen. And I think perhaps we're limited in our concept of singing. You know, a brother once told me, and I sort of took this and ran with it. He said, well, singing is the lazy man's way to the Spirit. Has anybody ever heard this before? So I heard this and I was like, yeah, that's right. Singing is for the lazy. Singing is for young people. Singing is for, you know, it's not for the real serious believers. We read life studies. We fill our Bibles with notes. We highlight. We prepare for messages. We don't sing. You know, we're singing. What is singing? It's secondary. You know, I'm all over the place. I'm not going to follow my outline this morning, but let me read something to you, okay? Okay, the brothers have mostly been sharing from outlines that were based on messages given in the 60s, okay? This message was given in the 80s, in the mid-80s. So there's a little maybe a little going on in our brother's experience here, okay? Just a couple of paragraphs. Concerning, this is the life study of Philippians, message 40. Concerning singing the word of God, my main burden is not that the meetings will be enriched. It is that we shall be saturated with the living word. We shall participate in the bountiful supply of the Spirit and enjoy the riches of Christ by receiving the word of God. Okay, now listen to this. In the past, I lost many opportunities to be saturated with the word because I did not know to sing the word. It's not, he didn't say I didn't know how. He's saying, I did not know to sing the word. Well, this morning, brothers and sisters, I think we all lose that excuse, right? At least we know to sing the word. We might still not know how, but we know to do it. Okay. I spent a great deal of time reading and studying the Bible, filling several Bibles with notes. But I did not realize I could sing or psalm the word. It is one thing to read Ephesians 2, and another thing to pray read it. But once again, I wish to emphasize that singing the word is even better than pray reading. I'm sorry, brothers. I don't mean to contradict your outlines, okay? We're in the same direction. But it's even better than pray reading. Okay, so what are we missing out on? What are we missing out on in our personal life? What are we missing out in our home meetings? Okay, many of today's Christians exercise only their mind to read and study the word. They do not sing the word at all. And some actually oppose the practice of prayer reading. I am confident that the more we sing and psalm the word, the more we shall be washed by and saturated with the element of Christ. Yeah. Brothers and sisters, this is the real way to study the word. Yeah. You know, we're beginning a new semester on our campuses, Washington, D.C. Praise the Lord, we have something going on at George Washington University, something going on at Georgetown, and I would say the flagship, I don't know if that's the word, but the primary thing, the event we have on campus, we call it the Bible study. And how about we change that term? What do you think, Jonah? Do we have to call it a Bible study? Everybody studies the Bible. But who on campus is praying the word of God? Amen. Who on campus is singing the Bible? Amen. We need a new term. I'm tired of trying to imitate Christianity so they don't get offended. Amen. Who can be offended by singing the word of God? Amen. If that is offensive to you, then maybe you don't belong in our Bible study or whatever we're going to call it. Let's go to the campuses and sing the word of God. Amen. Let's go to the campuses and pray the word of God. Amen. Let's teach the students how to muse. Amen. Let's teach them how to sing. Amen. Let's learn and teach them how to psalm. Amen. Why not? Amen. Even our brother says this is the best way to study. Amen. It's far superior to, okay, this week we're in Romans chapter 14. Let's go around and read it. Let's read two or three footnotes. Okay, now let's talk about it. Brothers and sisters, that is too low. Amen. Right? We need to fill our times on campus, fill our times in our church life with the breath of God. Amen. Amen. Okay. All right, just a few more minutes. Let me hurry through this outline. Okay. This is a wonderful outline, actually, more for reading than for speaking. Amen. Okay, so how about we read brothers A, and we'll just go through until I stop you, and then sisters on one.
The Christian life is a life of living Christ for the constitution and building up of the body of Christ.
Sisters.
God's desire is for us to live Christ, to have Christ as our living, to have Christ as a reality, the real contents of the church life.
Amen. Amen. Brothers, too.
From the very beginning, even from eternity, this is what the Lord has desired. This is the goal of the Lord's recovery.
OK, Okay, let's just finish B on this in this way.
Amen. If we exercise our whole being to take in the word, we shall be filled, occupied, and saturated with the living word.
Amen. Okay, so in Colossians 3, 16 and 17, we see that by letting the word of Christ dwell in us in a rich way, in our spirit, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing, and by singing, we do all things in the name of the Lord. Amen. And by our doing all things in the name of the Lord is our living Christ. Amen. This is the fulfillment of the desire of God's heart.
Amen.
He can be magnified in our living and in our church life by our enjoying the word.
Amen.
Singing and psalming the word.
Amen.
Okay, Roman numeral 2. From our experience, we know that we can take the word as food by prayer reading it. But now, brothers and sisters, but now,
Amen.
We must go on.
Amen.
Who wants to stay in the same place? Right? We must go on to see that there is no better way to receive the word into our being than by singing the word. The more we sing and psalm the word of God, the more it will sing into the depths of our being.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, how about the brothers read A?
We may compare our spirit to an automobile needing gasoline, and the word, the Bible, to a gas station. In the word, we have an inexhaustible supply of spiritual gasoline. The way to pump this gasoline into us is by singing and psalming the word.
Amen. So Ephesians 5:18 says, "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissoluteness, but be filled in spirit." You know, this was really fresh to me in my preparation. You know, the wine is a symbol of our enjoyment of the world, all the earthly pleasures, actually even a lot of good things, but especially a lot of worldly entertainment. This shows that actually Christ wants to be our real enjoyment.
Amen.
We really need to get out of having such an act. Sometimes our church life is so academic. Maybe it's because we have so much of the riches. Maybe it's because some of us got a little bit too much education. We're so academic concerning the Lord. We need to come back to enjoying Him.
Amen.
You know, He is the real wine.
Amen.
He's actually new wine.
Amen.
He called Himself the new wine.
Yes.
In Matthew, I think chapter 9, He refers to Himself as a new wine. And you know, this new wine cannot go into old wineskins.
Amen.
Our church life, all our old habits, all our old forms that we've built up over the decades can be like this old wineskin, which are just the dead religious practices. And you can't put that new wine, which is the footnote says, the exciting life of Christ. Christ is the exciting life.
Amen.
You can't put that new wine in the old wineskins. You have to have a fresh wineskins, which is the corporate container of the church life that can be filled with Christ as the new wine.
Amen.
Christ as the real enjoyment.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, may the churches in the Mid-Atlantic become the fresh wineskins.
Amen.
You know, in the coming weeks, we're not done with this subject after this message this morning.
Yeah.
We're going to continue to pursue this living.
Amen.
To be revived in our living and our practice.
Amen.
Right, brothers?
Yeah.
We're going to be faithful to work this out with the view that we can be the new wineskin filled with the Spirit.
Amen.
Filled with Christ.
Amen.
Okay, sisters, B. How about B and 1? Sorry, Amen. Roman numeral 2, B and 1. Both of those together. We need... No, sorry. Roman numeral 2.
A1 or B1?
A1.
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 Okay. There was an update to these outlines, and I'm apparently using the old version. We must go on. Sorry for the confusion. I thought we had fixed that. So it's okay. It's the same burden. Praise the Lord. Okay, sisters, A1. That's the only one. Okay. Amen. Okay, saints, there is so much more to share. Maybe I'll leave it to Brother Paul concerning Colossians 3:16 and 17 and Ephesians 5:18 and 19. What we see is actually when we enter into this practice, it spills over into our church life where we can be subject to one another. We can love one another warmly, like in Romans 12, in brotherly love, and wives can be subject to husbands. Husbands can love wives. We can have this in our family life, in our marriage life. I just want to touch on one thing, okay? Sorry, we've been talking a lot about marriage this weekend, and I have not been married that long, but I have been married 14 years. 14 years. Not as long as some of you, but still long enough that I know of what I speak. And we've been talking about, in general, about our marriage life. I want to hone in on one very, very specific thing, okay, for us to focus on. How about the drive we take on Lord's Day morning to the meeting with our spouse? Why don't we recover that time? Now, you might not have a long drive. In Washington, D.C., we live a little bit far from where we meet. It's about 20 minutes. And I've been married long enough to know that is one of the enemy's favorite times. It's mainly when you're going out the door, you're focused on your duty, your service, you're late, one of us did not wake up early enough, one of us did not help out enough with the children, and now there's an offense, there's a cloud, right? And as we get to the meeting, we suddenly have to be, forgive me. And that brings us into the meeting in a very deflated state. Okay? You know, sometimes I complain about the fact that in Washington, D.C., we're so spread out. So we spend so much time in our cars. Why don't we, brothers and sisters, turn that weakness into an advantage? All that time we spend in our cars can be time in the Holy of Holies. Today our cars are the real Holy of Holies. And why? How about the time with our spouse? Yes. Especially working age saints of my generation. It's not enough for us just to be compatible in our personality, to get along because of our common culture and heritage. We need to be real spiritual companions with one another. Yes. Our children need to see mom and dad loving the Lord together. Yes. They need to enter into this with their parents. Yes. You know, sometimes we joke around about how, you know, in some countries, the couples refer to each other as brother and sister. Right? This is my sister. And then you're confused. Is that your sister or is that your sister? Which one is it? And so sometimes my wife and I, we joke around, hey, sister. She's like, hey, brother. Brothers and sisters, we are abnormal, right? I want to be a spiritual companion with my spouse. We need to enter into this. So how about this drive? How about this? Okay, let's practice this one thing. We'll knock it off. And we'll go on from there. Okay. How many more points do we have? Let's read A2, okay? All together.
We are thankful for the recovery of prayer reading the word. Now we
Let's sing a chorus at 1287. I think many of us may know it already. It starts with sisters, then it goes brothers. So let's just sing it. Don't look it up if you already know it. Let's take the land, O Christian sisters, the land that God has given us. Be strong and take it, for we can make it and gain this land so glorious. Okay, now sisters again. Amen. Let's take the land. Amen. Amen. For we can make it and gain this land so glorious. Okay, brothers. Let's take the land, O Christian sisters, and do these things
God has given us.
Be strong and take it, for we can make it and gain this land so glorious. Amen. The Lord implores us. He has gone before us. He's given everything we need. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. The Lord's given everything we need. Amen. So we need to take the land. I think we have the sense the Lord in this weekend is endeavoring to break some of our forms. We need to be liberated. We need to be freed. The spirit has been too limited. We don't want to be a kite without a string, but we nevertheless need to be freed. We all have certain things that we've built up, certain forms. You know what forms remind me of? Formaldehyde. Does anybody enjoy the smell of formaldehyde? I remember when I was in high school in AP biology, we were dissecting fetal pigs. Let's just say, I skipped more classes during that period than any time in my high school career. Formaldehyde stinks. We need to be freed from all our formaldehydic tendencies. So we'd like to learn together to allow the Spirit to move. And this way is an excellent way. Singing, by its nature, is somewhat spontaneous. It's freeing. It's liberating. So we're endeavoring together to enter into this. Not just singing generally, but singing with the word of God. Okay? So we're gonna move through this outline, and I have to say, like with my brother Tim last night, pray for me. This is intimidating. I looked at my portion of the outline. There were 10 verses in the whole portion of my outline. I was like, that's not a lot of verses. Actually, primarily, we're just in these two sets of verses right here. But if I can draw this back to message one, this is where the meat really is. You know, we were talking, as Brother David brought up at the beginning of message one, that we are touching God's goal. And God's goal is not merely the church as a gathering of people, a called out assembly. The church, as we see it, and as we are endeavoring to arrive at, is the body of Christ. Amen. The fullness of the one who fills all in all. Amen. What Brother Lee saw at the end of his life in 1994 and transmitted to us was the emphasis on two things: the body of Christ and the reality of the life of Christ as lived out through his members. That's our objective. Well, what does that translate into? You know, it's a corporate living of perfected God-men. Amen. Who are learning to live by another life. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
That's our goal,
amen.
To live by another life,
amen.
Collectively in the church life. And I was touched. You see that in both of these books. You know, at the end of chapter 5 of Ephesians, Paul gets into husbands and wives. Children, obey your parents. Parents, forsake take care of your children in a proper way. Don't provoke them. Slaves and masters. Really, what he's touching is our living. This is our living. You're just an aggregate of all the relationships that you have. But how do you live that life? You live that life as revealed in these two sets of verses. This is really the fill-up station. This is, in Ephesians, we see, be filled in spirit. Be, actually, it's be being filled in spirit. Once your spirit hits 80%, you better go to the fill-up station. You know, you ever drive your car? I like to drive my car down to empty, you know? You know, once it hits empty, then I know. I just save time. You know, I only fill up. Actually, we should fill up our car as soon as we hit 3/4. We should always be being filled. So we see the Spirit in Ephesians. In Colossians, which is a different emphasis, we see the Word of God. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. So we have the Spirit and we have the Word. This is what we're touching, and this is all we have. All we have in the church life. We have prayer. We have the Spirit. And we have the Word. That's the only way we have. So we are just boring into this to learn how to mingle the two. How to combine Spirit and the Word in prayer. This actually fulfills God's purpose. I appreciated this in one of the messages previously. You know, in Ephesians 5, it then in verse 25 says, God so, or Christ so loved the church and gave himself up for her in order that he might sanctify her, cleansing her by the washing of the water in the Word, that he might present the church to himself glorious, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy, without blemish. Amen. Before him in love. So I need the Word dwelling in me richly. But I appreciate, there you see that there's water in the Word. There's the Word, but there's something else in the Word. Every time we touch the Word of God, we should be seeking. You know, I used to watch movies when I was a child. Anyways, I remember Texans, you know what I mean, going out to try to find water, and they'd have this little stick. You know what I mean? They're looking, where's the water? And the dry stick is supposed to point you to the water. Anyways, whenever we touch the Bible, we should be like that. Where's the Word? You know, where's the water? Where's the water? You know, Luther said, you're going to a bush, like a berry bush, and you're knocking on every branch, and you're looking for, where are the berries? I'm for berries. You know, I like superfoods. I'm after the berries. Whenever we touch the Word, we seek berries. And if you knock on a branch and you don't find berries, go to the next branch. There's abundant berries. You just have to find it. But I appreciate the water in the Word prepares you to be the bride. Okay, then you move into Ephesians chapter 6. We know these verses, 17 and 18. Receive. Receive. Receive the helmet of salvation. And the sword of the Spirit, amen. Which Spirit is the Word of God. Amen. Actually, our translation is rather unique in this because we realize that it's the Spirit which is the Word of God. It's an interesting phrase. Receive the sword of the Spirit. It's not the sword of the Word of God. You notice that? The sword of the Spirit. And it says, which Spirit is the Word of God. Amen. So what is the sword? It's not just the Word of God. It's not, you know, like, you know, we're going to go battle people. No, you know what the sword there is? It's the Spirit Word. It's the Word that is Spirit. Amen. That is the sword. Amen. So that's what we need to know how to handle, is the Spirit Word. So again, just as in Ephesians 5, there's water in the Word. In chapter 6, there's a sword in the Word, but it's a Spirit Word. What does this do? This deals with the enemy within us and outside of us. Okay, so in Ephesians 5, we have the bride to express the Lord and match him. Ephesians 6, we have a warrior to defeat God's enemy, execute his dominion. Where are we going here? We have image and dominion. Fulfilled through us handling God's Word. Amen. In a prayerful way, touching the Spirit, knowing the Spirit that moves in the Word of God. Praise the Lord. This matter of prayer reading is more than a practice. It's the way to fulfill God's purpose. Amen. Hallelujah. So this is why we give ourselves to this. And as we will find, the more that we are in this, the more that we are practicing this personally and corporately, the more we'll find the church will become the expression that God desires. We just need to, have more of the word dwelling in us richly. So I found a quote from Luther that I enjoyed. And let me read this to you. You know, Luther touched the high peak of the divine revelation. What we enjoy as such is not unique to us, actually. Many before Luther spoke of it as well. Athanasius probably being one of the first. But Luther put it in a particular way. I like this. He says, just as the word of God became flesh, so it is certainly also necessary that the flesh become word. Amen. For the word becomes flesh precisely so that the flesh may become word. In other words, God becomes man so that man may become God. That was 500 years ago, you know? But I like how he says it. The word, in John 1, became flesh, that the flesh might become the word. What are we becoming? We're becoming the word. Amen. We are becoming the enlarged word of God. Amen. You know, so Paul says in Colossians 1, 25, I believe, that he was to complete the word of God. But actually, we see in the ministry, we likewise are participating in that same function. Not in the way of writing something that is to be canonized, but we, in our experience, are completing the Word of God. Amen. We're becoming a living testimony. As the Word of God dwells in us, inhabiting us richly, we begin to look like the Word of God. How do we arrive at wearing suits? You know, the first time I went to a semi-annual training, anyways, for those of you that have been to the semi-annual training, I remember I was brought and I was put in the front row amongst all the trainees, you know, 4,000, 5,000 people there, and I was wearing white pants, a black short-sleeved shirt, I had a goatee, and I was amidst a sea of suits. And anyways, nobody said anything. Probably some thought a lot of things. But you know what? I was just there. I still remember that message vividly. But you know what happened? As the Word of God came, it begins to work. He operates in us. He changes us intrinsically, inwardly, to match what He desires. Praise the Lord. This is the function of the Word of God in us, operating us. Okay, so we're going to get into this. Please continue to pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, I think we're on three, right? The highest way to enjoy reading the Bible is to sing the words with a spontaneous melody. Let's just read a little bit. We need to exercise our spirit to receive God's written word so that it may become the present spoken word to us. Singing the word is an excellent way to exercise the spirit. To pray is to exercise the spirit. But to sing is an especially good way to exercise the spirit. I'd like to touch that verse a little later, 1 Corinthians 14, 15. There, Paul, in the context of prophesying, is referring to how we should pray. We pray with our spirit. You know, in Ephesians, it says that praying always in spirit. So we need to pray with our spirit. But he says there also, we need to pray with our mind. And our mind needs to be brought into harmony with our spirit. And this is where we get into the matter of musing, which we can touch later. But anyways, maybe it's time to touch it now. We need to learn to muse. As our brother Russell brought out the other day, we need to be ruminants. Chewing the Word of God, taking it in, and learning how to masticate it. learning how to regurgitate it throughout the day, taking it back into our memory. You know, in John 14:26, the Lord says, you know, that he's going to send the Spirit. And the Spirit there, he does a certain thing. What does he do? He reminds you. He reminds you. What's a function of the Spirit? It's a reminding Spirit. He reminds things to us. Many times throughout the day, something that we touch in the morning will come up from within us. Actually, that thing needs more chewing. It needs to be further masticated. Actually, I appreciate this, and I got into this in the last couple months. We need to learn how to chew. Actually, you know, in Hebrews, there's milk and there's solid food. And you know what the difference between milk and solid food are? I have four young children, and so they're moving, or they have moved or are moving between milk and solid food. And you know what the difference between, in the stages, between milk and solid food primarily? It's teeth. You know, until you have teeth, solid food is an issue, right? But once you have teeth, you can begin to chew things. So we need to, musing really is a matter of chewing. I've never seen a toothless cow, you know? They chew, and they chew. Actually, we need to learn how to chew by growing teeth. Do you have spiritual teeth? Yes. Actually, you grow your own teeth. Has anybody implanted teeth in their baby? No? I think all of us have children that have grown their own teeth, right? Spiritually, we grow our own teeth. In Song of Songs, the seeker of the Lord is praised for her teeth. They're like ewes coming down the mountain. They're shorn ewes. Fresh from the washing. They're in pairs. You know, in order to chew the word, you need a pair of teeth. You need two of them. That means you need to have your experience. You need to have, and actually that's why you need the church life. If you don't have the church life, Brother Lee would say this, you don't have the church, I've got nothing to say. You know, some people may just want our truth. But if you don't have the church life, you have no way to apply those things. The tabernacle is an empty type to you. If you don't have the church life, the more that we're in the church life, giving ourselves to the Lord, loving him in the midst of the meetings, you have experiences and verses will become real to you and you can chew. You'll be able to digest more of God's word. This is musing. It's the digestion. It's the taking of pieces of the word of God and applying it in your experience. Do I know this? Or maybe you know this, but you don't know this. You know what I mean? We're learning to muse on God's word. And we need a lot of perfecting in this. A lot of us may be able to say, when we come to the prophesying meeting, we're faithful. You know, in Timothy, Paul says to Timothy, you have closely followed my teaching. And we realize we need to do this. We need to closely follow the ministry that brings us into God's economy, reveals this wonderful Christ to us, furnishes all the unsearchable riches for our enjoyment. But many times we realize food's not cooked. The meeting is full of sushi. You know? It's right? Right? We have followed and we're re-speaking, but the food has not been properly chewed. It hasn't been brought down to the level of our experience and applied. That food will really nourish. Amen. It'll nourish you and it'll nourish others. We're deficient in our diet. It's not because of volume. We all can acknowledge we have volume. The rate of the ministry that's coming forth is is it's the Niagara Falls, and we're all there with our little cup, you know what I mean? Trying to catch it and not lose the cup. It's not a matter of volume, though. You need volume. But we need to learn how to chew God's word. We need to have it brought down to the point where there's something that sticks to your ribs. You've taken something in, and it's just like it won't let you go. It keeps echoing inside of you. You know, I really appreciate 1 John, and I've mentioned this before, but the first three verses of 1 John, John says, you know, the things which we have heard with our ears, which we've seen with our eyes, which our hands have handled concerning the word of life. These things we testify and report to you, that you can have fellowship with us. You know, in the Greek, these verbs are in the perfect tense. You know, the perfect tense is not commonly understood, perhaps, in our English language. But the perfect tense implies that an action occurred and resulted in a certain state. So I came into the meeting this morning, and I'm still here. There was an action and a state. Okay, so when John says, we have heard, that means not only he heard at the time of the Lord Jesus, but he's still hearing. He saw, but he's still seeing. He touched, but he's still touching. So a better translation may be something like, that which I've heard is still ringing in my ears. It's still reverberating in your spiritual vision. You know what I'm referring, you know what I'm talking about if you have this experience. There's something in you you can't erase. It's written inside of you. That is truth that's been installed in you. And musing produces that. Okay, so we need to have more musing. Eventually, and hopefully, this musing can get translated into psalms. Okay, so I appreciated psalms are amusing. And I should first say, you know, the psalmists, they were all servants of God. They were in God's house. You know, whether it's David, Moses, Heman, sons of Korah, they were for God's house, in God's house, loving God's house. And so you know what? God opened to them. And as they mused, something came out. I looked up the word muse in the Bible. It's only used two times outside of Psalms. Psalms are musing. Eventually, what we'll see is as we are musing on God's word, as it begins to flow inside of you, it will bubble forth. It'll tickle your mind with revelation, and it will proceed to flow through your emotion. And a tune may just flow out. It may be your tune. It may be a non-melodic tune. It may be something you've borrowed from somewhere else. But it will just proceed out from you. That is the overflow of the enjoyment that comes through musing on God's word. So I feel like a novice. I'm an amusical person. But I appreciate God didn't give anybody a head start on this one. It's not a matter of how well you sing. How musical you are. It's a matter of your enjoyment. Amen. And that enjoyment reaching, flowing out of you. You know, and if in Song of Songs, there's a private garden. I bet in that private garden, there's lots of joyful noise. Anyways, we should be able to sing to the Lord. Amen. He loves to hear us sing. Amen. I love this song by Emmy Barber, A Little Bird I Am, Shut In. We're just locked into this little cage. And she says, he loves to hear the tunes that we sing. Amen. Whatever it is, in that enclosed garden, he loves to hear our voice. This is not a matter of producing things that get to the top 10 chart, you know? This is a matter of your enjoyment proceeding to grow inside of you, bubble forth from within you. Anyways, we can receive a lot of perfecting from those that have already been in this land, built something up in this way, but every one of us can just endeavor. You know, I appreciated in my preparation here, Handel's Messiah. Everybody's familiar with this, what's now a Christmas song. You know, there are 78 verses in those three stanzas or those three sets in that song. 78 verses. That's a lot of verses. And you know what? I believe it's a form of musing. As those verses are progressing, there's a certain feeling that erupts in you. When that was first played before the King of England, I think it was King George II, as the Hallelujah chorus was rising, he stood up. And actually, that is why we all, whenever you hear that, the congregation stands on the Hallelujah chorus. Because the practice at that time was whenever the king stood, everybody stood. And somebody asked, why did you stand? You know what he said? He said, I'm the king, but he's the King of Kings. But that was the issue of a certain kind of musing. It just flows. I remember being at that presentation a few years ago. There was a student we knew that was performing, and I had to say amen. I enjoyed the psalming that came from the Word of God. We're not all handles, you know, but at least we can enjoy the Word. All right, let's keep going here. I think we're on 4, correct? If we do not know a melody to use in singing a particular verse, we may make up one of our own. Amen. Whether or not we sing well, the Lord is pleased to hear us singing the Word. As we sing the Word, we need to exercise our eyes to read, our mind to understand, our emotion to love the Word, our will to receive the Word, and also our spirit to pray, sing, psalm, and thank the Lord for His Word. We should sing the Word not only in the meetings, but especially in our daily life. In particular, we should sing the Word at home, when you are alone in your room or with others at the dining table. Sing the Word of God. Let us build up the habit of singing the Word day by day. Then our meetings will not be formal. They will be filled with an exhibition of our daily life. In particular, we shall sing in the meetings. Amen. So, the burden? We sing! Especially in our daily life, you know? The inner life, it's for our daily life. The daily life, it's for the meeting life. And the church life is an aggregate of all of our meetings, all of our gatherings. Praise the Lord. We're learning. Whenever you come together in 1 Corinthians 14, what does it say? What's the first thing that you have? Psalms. What's the first thing you need to bring to the meeting? A psalm. Anyways, I think we oftentimes skip over that, right? Whenever you come together, each one has, you know, read your life study. We're a little academic, you know? We want the teaching. We want the revelation. That's good. Bring that. But the first thing we should bring is a psalm. So we need to learn how to psalm. All right, I'll go ahead and read this. We need to get into the Word by psalming. Amen. Psalming is higher, deeper, and more profound than singing. To sing the Word is better than reading it, and to psalm the Word is even better than singing it. Amen. Psalming is a type of singing that includes musing. Singing itself does not include much musing, but in psalming, we muse upon the Word. At such times, we may worship the Lord, have fellowship with Him, or even converse with ourselves in the Lord's presence. As we psalm the Word, we dwell upon it, muse on it, and enjoy it. thereby giving more opportunity for the word to saturate us. You know, in Psalm 1, chapter 1, verse 2, it says that all my delight is in the law of God, and I meditate on it day and night. It reminded me of Zinzendorf, Count Zinzendorf. He was a real lover of the Lord. And as he loved the Lord, he was a prolific hymn writer. And he wrote hymn. We have at least one in our hymnal. God's Christ, who is my righteousness, 290-something. But I appreciate that as he was just musing on God's word, these psalms, these songs would just come forth. It's an issue. It's an issue of our enjoyment. There was a brother who really refreshed me a couple months ago. He was in Mark chapter 6, you know, and there the Lord tells the disciples, get in the boat and go to the other side. And he sent the crowds away. And this brother was musing on this, and something fresh came to him. And we know this from certain portions in the ministry, and we apply it in certain ways. But at that point, the Spirit anointed this in a particular way for this brother. You know, sometimes the Lord's word comes to us, and he tells you, get in the boat. Get in the boat! And go. Go to the other side. But there's the crowds that are gathering. You know, when you're serving, sometimes there's a crowd that's gathering. There's a lot of things that are necessary. The Lord sends the crowds away. You get in the boat. You just take the Lord's word. The Lord sends the crowds away. And so this brother, in his musing, touched something there. And there was a certain revelation. And he put it to song. And I was so watered. Maybe if you ask me, I can send it to you. But I'm not going to try to sing it. It should be in the enclosed garden at this point for me. But I appreciate this. The more that the revelation comes, let's camp out on things a little bit more. Amen. What we bring to the meeting, if it's smaller, but it's real. It's real to you. Amen. That is what really edifies. Amen. That is what nourishes the saints. Amen. More than the points that we've memorized. More than the fact that we're using the right utterance. We need the right utterance. But we need to get to the point where what we bring has been processed within our being. Amen. Psalming does not need much of a melody for singing. You can psalm with your own tune and even with all kinds of irregular tunes. Yellow Submarine. It was, anyways, lots of tunes. You can see what will come out. There will be a sweet and strengthened receiving of the divine element.
Amen.
Amen. In Colossians 3:16, Paul tells us to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly.
Amen.
We should regard all the words written by Paul, in fact, the whole New Testament, as the word of Christ.
Amen.
You know, that I have Bibles, and you may as well, that are called red letter Bibles. You know, they just put into red the exact words that the Lord Jesus spoke. The emphasis being that, and I've heard Christians say this to me before, you can only really receive fully the words that are in red, because those are the words of Christ. Actually, Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The whole Bible is the word of Christ, particularly the New Testament. God speaks in the Son. He is speaking corporately. We should receive the whole Bible as the word of Christ. Every scripture is God-breathed and profitable. Profitable for teaching. Profitable for conviction. Profitable for correction. For instruction in righteousness. That the word man of God may be complete. Fully equipped for every good work. Anyways, hallelujah. Certain Christians sing verses from the Bible. However, for the most part, they sing portions from the Old Testament. This is good, but is not nearly as rich as singing from the New Testament. In particular, we should sing the four books which make up the heart of the divine revelation: Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, to enjoy the unsearchable riches of Christ. We especially need to sing those verses which convey to us the riches of Christ. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians are books filled with the divine riches. Let's read this next one together. I hope that one day we shall be able to set the entire New Testament to music as a help in singing the word of Christ. Then we shall have a tune for every verse in the New Testament. There is something here. We have to learn how to receive the word of God in this prayer, in this singing way. With my children, it's become increasingly difficult to have a time in the word in the morning. My 2-year-old thwarts me many times, and the newborn is doing his best as well. And what I do in my circumstance, I just realize there's no way out but up, you know? So I just, while I'm making breakfast, while I'm doing things, I just sing. I just sing. And it made me think about, in this country, during the time of slavery, the slaves would just sing. There was just a singing culture, you know? That's your only way out. There's many circumstances. There's only one way out. You're boxed in, right? All you can do is sing. And as the word of God, as the richest form for us to touch him, is the best medium. So I put on tunes. There's an app. I'll recommend this. Anyways, this is maybe a generational thing, but SoundCloud. And the young people, and some that are not that young, are prolific in writing scripture songs nowadays and posting it. It's a way in which things can get out very quickly. And it's just streams, which means it kind of tracks your trends and it populates your device with whatever's fresh. And so I just put it out. And after a sleepless night, I found it very encouraging. Amen. And it draws my wife in. Amen. And we just find ourselves singing to the Lord. Amen. In the midst of everything, all the chaos that is swirling. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It really affects our living.
Amen.
To be singing the word of God.
Amen.
Anyways, let's read the Roman numeral 3 together.
If we all would practice praying the word, singing the word, psalming the word, and thanking them through the word, the church life will be uplifted. We all need to be deeply impressed with the need to practice what has been presented. Exercise our spirit to pray the word, to sing the word, and to thank God and praise him. Then we will enjoy the Lord, be one with him, and live him.
So we really realize that in the conferences in general, what is released is maybe 25% of the impact that the Lord may gain. The rest is our practice.
Amen.
Paul said, Timothy, practice these things. Be in them, that your progress may be manifested to all. So we're learning to just practice. Take it one step at a time. Apply these things. Endeavor to muse on God's word, to pray read God's word, and to sing God's word. And then bring what you've enjoyed to the meetings. And let's allow the meetings to be the overflow of what we have enjoyed. The freshness will come forth, and it will be encouraging to all. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
May we all practice.
Amen.
Amen. Should we pray with our neighbors for a minute, and then we could have some testimonies.